Welcome back to The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. A writer for the New York City-based black magazine The Anglo-African in 1859 detailed an immersive gallery showcasing the history, culture, and accomplishments of African Americans. But the gallery didn't actually exist. It was an imagined place that represented both a cultural critique and a call for recognition. More than 160 years later, Winterthur Museum is bringing the imagined gallery to life in a new exhibit, Almost Unknown, the African-American Picture Gallery. In this week's edition of Arts Playlist, Delaware Public Media's Martin Matheny catches up with Winterthur's Director of Collections, Alexandra Deutsch, and curator and historian Jonathan Michael Square for a closer look at Almost Unknown.
Dr. Square, tell me about the title of this exhibit and how it came about.
Yeah, so the exhibition is based on an essay that was written in 1859 at the brink of the Civil War by a free African-American man named William J. Wilson. And in this essay, he's envisioning how an African-American museum might look in the future. And so what we've done is brought his vision to life in this exhibition using objects from Winterthur's permanent collection.
Tell me a little bit more about William J. Wilson.
Yeah, William J. Wilson was born free in New Jersey in 1818, and he lived for most of his life in Brooklyn and Washington, D.C. He wrote prolifically for the Black press, and he's really an understudied figure in African-American history. I think in part because he never published a book. But he's someone who rubbed shoulders with some very notable individuals, including Frederick Douglass. He wrote for Frederick Douglass Papers, which was one of Frederick Douglass's newspapers. So he really is a really interesting figure that really deserves more attention and light.
Turning to you, Alexandra, talk a little bit about some of the works on display, if you will.
It's an eclectic group of objects. It's a very small group of objects. Around 30 objects are in the gallery. And it ranges from something as small as a fingernail. There's a seal that you would use to press an image into wax that asks, am I not a woman? And has a kneeling female figure. It has a earthenware vessel that was made by the black potter David Drake. It has a probably more familiar image of the Washington family done by the artist Edward Savage. It has some new acquisitions in it. It has a quilt that was made in Philadelphia by a Quaker woman, Priscilla Ballinger. But what is extraordinary is that quilt at its center has a stitched image of an eagle. And through Ballinger's diary, we know that a free young black man in her household had actually created a sketch of that eagle for her. And that was what she used to create that eagle on her quilt. So I think you can see there's such an eclecticism in terms of the objects. There are also some really moving volumes from our collection that you would encounter, from Uncle Tom's Cabin to the frontispiece for a first edition of Phyllis Wheatley, the first black woman poet to be published in the colonies. And so through this marriage of the words in William J. Wilson's essay that were the centerpiece for Jonathan, and then this bringing together of the objects with those words, the objects take on this much larger significance and meaning.
Dr. Square, what drew you to this essay as the inspiration for an exhibition?
It's a text that's hard to read, which is why I like it. It's not the kind of text you read in, like, okay, I got it. Like, there's no central argument. I often compare it to Edgar Allan Poe and Uncle Tom's Cabin. It really has the flavor of a mid-19th century sentimentalist literary work, which is also why I like it. The language is very florid. It was also published in serialized form in 7 installments. So there are a lot of cliffhangers in the text. All the pieces of the puzzle don't fit together neatly. And it's not the kind of text that you can easily read in one sitting. And I think the the sort of rough edges of the text or the incompleteness or the messiness of the text lends itself to an exhibition well. So that's what I like about it.
Alexandra, this is more than just an exhibition of objects. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about some of the multi-sensory aspects of this and how Wilson's essay is woven into this show.
Yes, so what I like to say is that as you walk into the gallery, you not only walk through the essay, but you're surrounded by the essay. So you're surrounded by sound. When you first walk into the gallery, you're greeted by Dr. Square's voice, and he introduces himself as essentially your guide and narrator through the exhibition. Some moments he's reading parts of the essay. But there are other voices that you encounter, and all of them complement William J. Wilson's description of this gallery that never existed. So, William J. Wilson's essay is written like a guidebook, as if you're walking through this gallery. And in order to create that experience, we have some visual moments in the galleries that are videos, digitally created and moving. Images. In one case, it is taking you in a visual journey as if you're seeing figures and moving through the Underground Railroad. And in another instance, there are a series of figures who you see moving in a space, and there are actually voices overlaying with them who are the visitors, what William J. Wilson calls the visitors in the gallery. So the people who you encounter as you move through the gallery, the tall woman, the gallery boy, Tom Onward, the narrator, you see these figures. There's also a soundscape. So you hear music of William J. Wilson's period. You hear Black composers represented in the soundscape, and you hear the sounds of the environment you're in. So at one point, you're hearing in the Underground Railroad, you're actually hearing the sounds now of the Eastern Shore, which is where the Underground Railroad would move through. And it's meant to immerse you in this fantasy world of William J. Wilson's essay.
One piece that really stood out to me is this trivet, like you might set a hot pan on in the kitchen. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about its significance and its symbolism as well.
Yeah, absolutely. The trivet is really interesting. Yeah, it's something that we stumbled upon during one of my wandering through the house. And when I saw it, it made me think of Sankofa. It's heart-shaped like the Sankofa symbol. And who knows if the creator of this trivet was actually referencing Sankofa, but for me, it looked like Sankofa. And Sankofa is an Adinkra symbol, a writing. Adinkra is a writing system that was innovated by the Akan people in West Africa. And Sankofa in particular means looking back to the past to construct a more equitable present and future. And I was immediately taken by this trivet and wanted to include it in the exhibition. It's not one of the numbered objects in the exhibition. If you go to the exhibition, you know that the essay has numbered objects, and the exhibition starts off with numbered objects. The trivet is not one of the numbered objects in the exhibition, but it is sort of part of the driving ethos behind the exhibition, and it's the first object you'll encounter in the exhibition. So it's really central to how we were thinking about what to include and how to curate this exhibition.
Finally, Dr. Square, you talked earlier about exhibitions as a way of starting conversations, and I wonder, what are some of the conversations you hope this exhibit starts?
Yeah, so many. I mean, I think when people think about African American history in the 19th century, certain names are come up over and over again, whether it's Harriet Tubman or Frederick Douglass or W.E.B. Du Bois or Sojourner Truth. And all those figures are important and should be studied and continue to be studied. But there's all these other figures that I think are really interesting. And I think William J. Wilson is one of those individuals. And there's other individuals, whether it's Martin Delaney or James McKean Smith or Marianne Shad, who's also featured in the exhibition. And so I guess I would want people to think more carefully and with more nuance about African American history. Another thing I would say is I think the mid-19th century is an interesting moment of African American ethnogenesis, and there wasn't a consensus about who were people of African descent who were born and raised in the United States. There wasn't a consensus about even nomenclature, which is why the name of the essay is Afric without the A and N. American Picture Gallery. It was one of the terms that was considered for Black folks or African Americans. The essay was published in the Anglo-African magazine, which is another term that was being considered. So I think this moment is really interesting because there wasn't a consensus, like African American identity hadn't fully congealed. Also, on a like curatorial methodological level, I guess I would say I want people to look at old objects in new ways, and because the exhibition is so sparse, you have more time to like sit with the objects in the exhibition.
Thanks to Winterthur's Director of Collections, Alexandra Deutsch, Curator and Historian, Jonathan Michael Square, and R. Martin Matheny for joining us on this edition of Arts Playlist. More information on Almost Unknown, the African American Picture Gallery, can be found online at winterthur.org. And we finish out The Green next with Enlighten Me and our conversation with a Lewis-based author about her debut mystery novel. You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media.